Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Charles Roberts, and this is Politalks. I decided to put together my own podcast because I think I have a lot to say. I'm sure there's a lot of either right-wing radicals or left-wing radicals that have ideologies on what should and shouldn't be. I guess to get down to basics, come from a well-off family initially, went to college, good university, Boston University, actually graduated at Seton Hall. I had a little space there in between time because I fell in lust, not love, for about a year and a half, decided to get myself back on track, graduated a degree in communications, radio and TV broadcasting, then bounced around as far as this country and looking for jobs in media. Unfortunately, I played contact sports, and I also had an accident as a child riding a bicycle, so I had traumatic brain injury. And unfortunately, in my prime, I was like 36, I started developing seizures. We had it looked into. I was at Johns Hopkins. They did a little monitoring unit with five doctors and noticed, talking to my family, that I had now had been diagnosed with the epilepsy and due to brain injury. There was a scar on the side of my brain tissue. I asked my family, did Robert ever have any head injuries, concussions? Of course, I did with a bike accident as a child and then played contact sports hockey in college and high school. So it kind of put me on the other side, being dependent on, I think you could say, government support, but actually I was in Maryland outside of Johns Hopkins. And not necessarily under supervision, but I still was controlled, you could say, given an allowance, a certain type of money. But they didn't put you in a facility where you couldn't make your own choices. You were free to come and go. But they did have classes, you know, and they try to get you back on track. But I remember a period of time I couldn't even write my name. I couldn't even walk to talk, and then I had to go to cognitive therapy classes, which cognitive meaning you react in a thought process, not necessarily out of emotions. But unfortunately, when people have head injuries, past head injuries, that part of your brain is damaged, and I'm sure you know well aware of a lot of athletes that have had head injuries. Excuse me. Junior Seau, I think those players on the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you saw the movie Concussion or read the book, you found out that these guys become emotionally distressed. Unfortunately, it had nothing to do with psychological disorder. It was a head injury, which causes emotion, which causes, I guess you'd say, mild cognitive impairment. But if their injuries were much more severe than mine, I guess you could say it's major cognitive impairment. So they're thought process is due to emotions. And a couple of the guys wound up killing themselves, domestic violence, what have you. So now these players in hockey, football, all contact sports are coddled so this doesn't happen. Now that's a totally different situation. Now being back on track, having gone through therapy, as you could say, no longer government support, having taken care of myself with a online advertising sales, but also bouncing around, again, doing part-time jobs for supplemental income, but no longer that dependence on facility which handles my money or I have housing at. But I still go to doctors for cognitive therapy, and I do go to gyms, and I do read quite often. I do brain training. So I'm always going to be epileptic. I'm always going to have, but thank goodness, people, I no longer have seizures. Knock on wood. I went through taking several medications of being guinea pig with gazillions of different things. I even have an implant called a vagus nerve stimulator. Thank God it was just patented in 96 when I had that implanted to stop seizures. So whether that has helped or not, thank goodness I haven't had a seizure in a long while. And legally, I'm able to drive. So the whole point of me even bringing up my past life of cognitive impairment, of being coddled, of believing that if under distress, if having problems, it is important. But, you know, something has been going wrong on many college campuses in the last few years. Now, conservative speakers are shouted down. Students and professors say they are walking on eggshells and are afraid to speak honestly. Now, the rates of anxiety, depression, and suicide are rising on campuses as well as nationally. Now, how did this happen? A First Amendment expert, I remember, and a social psychologist show how these new problems on campus have their origins in three terrible ideas that are becoming increasingly woven into American childhood and education. It's the concept of what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. Always trust your feelings, and life is a battle between good people and evil. Now, that's right there, those three great untruths contradict the basic psychological principles about well-being and many ancient wisdoms from many cultures. Now, embracing these untruths, the younger generation now, these are kids that have been overprotected, overparented, communicating not face-to-face. So actually, you know, without giving their space, without giving their chance to become independent, when they go into these schools, they're like 10 years old emotionally. So when they embrace the truths and their resultant culture of safetyism, it interferes with these young people's social, emotional, and intellectual development, and it makes it much harder for them to become adults who are able to navigate, you know, the bumpy roads in life, like what's happening, voting or making decisions on your own, losing something, having to work, making money, breaking your arm, going to doctors, making choices on your own. Now, I was just reading a book called Coddling of the American Mind. It's amazing how it was investigated that many social trends have intersected to promote and spread these untruths. Not only the left-wing media, but they explore the changes in childhood, such as, like I said, the rise of fearful parenting, the decline of supervised. I remember going trick-or-treating on my own. I remember going to neighborhoods to play baseball, tag football, having fun, and, you know, kids in my era in the 70s and 80s used to go out and play. I understand there's a lot of psychos out there now and child molesters and people kidnap people, but I mean, come on. I mean, if these kids are supervised 24/7, if all they have is an iPhone or a computer and they stay in their room and sit down, do you really think that's good for their thought process? They never become independent. They rely on their parents or someone else to make decisions for them, like MSNBC or CNN, or Facebook or Twitter and their friends. They don't want to feel left out, you know. So if the Facebook is tending to go left and, you know, hate Trump and socialism is great and you know, the point to this way and stuff like that, these kids, because they're asked, they 9 times out of 10, they have no idea. Geography-wise, where the country, let's say if I point to this, I say, what country is that? And they say Europe. Europe isn't a country. What about the Cold War? Where was that? And they go, was that in Russia or Alaska? Or name the founding fathers. I'm not making fun, but, you know, to examine the changes on campus, including corporatization of universities, and the emergence of new ideas about identity and justice. So a lot of baby boomer teachers now, a lot of liberal teachers are kind of rewriting history and giving the idea of this nation being bad. And they situate the conflicts on campus within context of America's rapidly rising political polarization and dysfunction. And that's how you get identity politics. It becomes a tribal thought. It becomes colonization. It is not interesting when we believe in independence. You know, the United States became an independent democracy, free country, you know, freedom of speech, right? So this idea of segregation actually has come back. Now there is group politics. Now there are people that don't like other people because they have different political ideas. But now the LGBT and the Hispanics or liberals, whatever, and far rights and stuff like that, and liberal, and cause, so we don't see each other as Americans. We see each other as different colonies, just like when people come over from the Middle East, like in Germany or Canada or even here, they do not adjust. They have their own place, and it's like a lot of Hispanics that come over there. There's a lot of good working Hispanics, a lot of good working Muslims, a lot of good working other people and stuff like that. I'm not saying, but the majority that come over, that's why you have polarization. And what that does is that situates the conflicts on campus within the context of America. And the political polarization and causing dysfunction. Now, you know, anyone who is confused by what is happening on college campuses today or is concerned about the growing inability of Americans to live, work, and cooperate around party lines, that's the reason. That's the discussion here. Is it all starts from the bottom. It's these young kids, and they grow up, and a lot of these older politicians know exactly what they're doing. But you know, the again, it goes from colonization, England, independence, the United States, the wars that were fought to keep our democracy. But then something happened, 90s, 2000, another wave of colonization, lack of independence. And you have Antifa. Ironically, Antifa means anti-fascist, but that's what it is. It's intimidation to think their way. It's anything else. You know, if you don't think the way of liberals, then, well, then something's wrong with you. Then you're racist, Nazi. You know, the funny thing, not funny, but it's so pathetic that they would label Donald Trump, who is narcissistic. He's a loudmouth. He's self-destructive. Yes, he gets his own problems. He is an oddball, but I do believe in my heart he cares about this country. And when he means nationalist, he doesn't mean white nationalist. He even brought those nice young men, black young men, to be leaders. He cares about other people. Yes, he is narcissistic. He probably turns a majority of people off. But that's the thing, is he is foul-mouthed. He is. That's why he got voted, because he was different. The same reason why Obama got voted by you guys, or excuse me, I'm not talking to liberals, by liberals, because he saw them as a messiah, their king, their leader, because he was so globalized, that way of thinking, and apologetic about America. This guy is totally different. So this whole build-up of group of polarization, of colonization, of lack of independence, these kids not deciding on their own, overly protected by their family, going into universities when they're basically emotionally still 10. So you're out in the world, it's a totally different atmosphere, and you go where the flow is. If you have your independence and becoming a conservative young man because your parents were, or young woman, that's not good. So that's how it all starts, from the bottom up. And then you have puppeteers that, well, up top, whether it be politicians or media, things like that. But that's the beginning of this podcast, is just telling you the foundation of why things are. Now it goes to the far right, too, and ultra-religious or ultra-conservative or ultra-constitutional, which is nothing wrong. Our country was based on a constitution. But there's got to be some kind of slack in between, and that's why there is no more compromise. There is no debates without pointing fingers. The whole thing with the Kavanaugh situation was disgusting. It was personal attacks. Farrakhan getting a pass because he's black and calling Jews termites and should be extinguished. I've never seen this much hate growing up in the 70s and 80s, but again, I think it started, there was a trend, and becoming, with social media, I think people don't even really carry on conversations. They learn what they see online,
And then they spit out to other people, hey, this is the way it is. We can't talk about it anymore. So, but this is my first podcast. Hopefully it won't be my last. Let's see if anybody listens to it. And if you want to reply, please send a message out and we can talk about this situation of how ideas are started, the ideologies are started with these young people and brought up to the top. You know, if you have any ideas, please let me know. We'll go to something else, but that's why I call it Politalks. It's talking about politics. And again, I'm not siding with anybody else. I'm just wondering why this new generation of millennials are no longer independent. They follow what they're told. They're overprotected. Even in sports, these athletes are paid millions and millions of dollars and overprotected. And they say what they want, do what they want, they're lazy, and they play for their next contract. So that's that whole ideology. So if you're a parent out there or a young kid or a millennial that believes what I'm saying is untrue, or you're a parent that can't stand the way things are going, or if you're a teacher that believes everybody should be treated equal and that everybody should win awards present, there no longer should be any kind of competitiveness, and everybody should get the same paycheck. Whatever. But anyhow, I'm signing off now. My name is Charles Roberts. If you're interested, please send me a message. I appreciate it. And good luck, everybody out there, and have a wonderful day.